D Watkins here with Salon TV, and today I'll be joined by a person who really needs no introduction. Golden Globe winner, Oscar nominated, and star of the brand new Netflix film, The Kindergarten Teacher, Maggie Gyllenhaal. How you doing today?
Hey, good.
So we're gonna talk about the, we're gonna start talking about The Kindergarten Teacher. It's about a kindergarten teacher named Lisa and her interesting relationship with a child prodigy named Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Lisa.
It's about a kindergarten teacher who gets obsessed with this child in her class, who she thinks is a genius poet. But she's a poet herself, and nobody cares at all about her work. And in some ways, I kind of...
Tough times for poets.
Yeah, I mean, always, I think, probably. But I think, like, I think really it's about... the consequences of what happens when you starve a vibrant woman's mind. Mm. And, you know, she does a lot of things on the, I mean, the movie, it's funny, it's like short, but it's like this kind of roller coaster. I know you told me you saw it twice.
Yeah, no, I think you did. It was amazing. Like, I think it was a great film. Not because you're sitting here, but because, like, I really enjoyed it. How did you prep to play Lisa?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny. It's like some characters. How did I prep? Well, I started reading poetry. Mm. Even though the poetry, like in some ways, it could have been anything. She could have been a painter and found a painter prodigy. Mm. She could have been a musician. And, well, no, it wouldn't really work with a musician because it has to be some kind of like innate talent.
Right.
But I did start reading poetry. I started following poets on Twitter.
Oh.
And you know how like when I wake up in the morning, I often just like check my phone, I do my couple of checks, and I would start going on Twitter and seeing what poems they posted. So like the first thing in the morning when you're still kind of like half asleep,
yeah.
I'd get some poems. I also guess I just feel like really the movie, well, no, also just straight prep. I hung out with a kindergarten teacher a lot. I went to her classroom. This woman that I'd heard was amazing. I think it was really important because my character does these really deeply problematic things.
Well, you're like a natural. Along. It seems like you have the temperament. Like
I was just acting. I think being a kindergarten teacher is really hard.
Because kids have so many germs.
And that's one of 1,000 reasons why it would be really super hard to be a kindergarten teacher. But I did think it was really important that she be an amazing teacher, mm-hmm. because she like takes such a crazy trip down and does some really horrible things. And I think like part of the way the movie is designed is that you have to be rooting for her, and you are rooting for her for so much of the time. You know, she's just got to be a great teacher.
I was rooting for her all the way up until I wasn't. Now,
right.
I'll say this.
But even then, we won't give anything away, but like... Aren't you in your heart broken for her at the end? You know, like in a way, it's hard to let her go.
No, she was special. But we're gonna let you guys.
Yeah.
You guys make the decision, but you really need to watch it. What makes a great teacher?
Huh. I don't know. Maybe somebody who like makes the space to actually see you. Mm. Like who you actually are, the ways in which you're struggling and the ways in which you're doing great, you know?
Yeah, and that can be difficult with a schedule when dealing with a bunch of different students.
Yeah, I know you said you're a teacher, but don't you find sometimes you're like particularly interested in someone? Oh, like, oh, whoa, they're really interesting in this way. I see they're struggling here, or, I mean.
Yeah, I try to, when I'm teaching, you know, graduate students tend to be more focused. So when I'm teaching undergraduate students, sometimes there's a student who's like a, you know, criminal justice major with a real focus, but I can see they have a talent for writing and a talent for communicating. So I say, why do you want to go work in criminal justice? Why don't you just, you know, come be an artist and struggle like the rest of us? And sometimes they do it. So yeah, no, you recognize that and you try to nurture those talents.
I had a teacher, who died recently, she was almost 80, but she was actually, she's an acting teacher. Mm. She became one of my closest friends and taught me really everything that's valuable that I know about acting. And she was wild. She crossed all sorts of boundaries. I mean, not, I'm a grown up, so I could choose to like cross them with her or not. But, you know, it's different like in the movie where, you know, where she's a teacher of a 5-year-old.
Yeah, so much talent. You know, we're not going to give too much away, but there's so much talent that just goes unrecognized for a number of reasons. Maybe this person's living in poverty. Maybe this person has parents who are busy or who just don't understand how brilliant their children are. So what is the danger of that, or what do you think happens to that untapped potential?
Well, I think it's an interesting thing. I mean, in some ways, this movie is about a woman who sees this incredible talent in a child. In another way, this woman is a poet herself, and I think 5-year-olds say incredible poetic things all the time.
Oh yeah, no,
and
for
so
sure.
Who is it to say, like, oh, that's a poem? I think she puts her own stamp on it. She makes these things that this child is saying what she needs them to be. You know, so yes, I do think there's like a lot to be said about, you know, whose work gets heard, how do you nurture talent? But in this case, I feel like it's less about her nurturing the talent of this little boy than it is about her struggling with and dealing with the fact that nobody gives a fuck about her own work, you know, and that sounds sort of like she's self-consumed. I think it's bigger than that.
We'll say this: her life got better once this little guy came into it.
Well, yes, but also like I think it's a. In a lot of ways, it's more about like what happens to a female artist. Mm. Why is it that her work isn't heard? I mean, I read a couple of articles after Sundance that said, like, you know, her poetry is mediocre. And the truth is like her poetry is written by a brilliant published poet. Mm. All the poets whose work is in the movie are like these stars.
Right.
Because it turns out if you like. The poets don't get asked very much to have their work in movies, and we just went to like the people we wanted most, and we said, "Can we have your poems?" And they were like, "Yeah."
Yeah, so. I remember back in the day, like when I was watching Poetic Justice, they were Maya Angelou poems, but since they were being read by Janet Jackson in this film, they didn't have the same effect.
Right.
So people were like, "No, it's not the same because
well, that's
we don't know." Yeah,
that's right. But so. Okay, I think that if she is actually a mediocre poet that's not that good, the movie's way easier to watch.
Right.
If she's a really compelling poet, but it's just not seen that way because of who she is, because of how it's framed, well, then it's a much more heartbreaking movie.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a brilliant genius, but I think she is an artist.
Can I ask you a question about Lisa?
Sure. Like
an honest question.
Yeah.
Is Lisa crazy? From your perspective.
Right. No.
Maggie looking at
I definitely don't think she's crazy. I think, well, I don't think she's fundamentally, like, mentally ill.
Okay.
I think she's driven crazy by the culture that she finds herself in. And the culture that she finds herself in is the same one that we're in, you know?
Would you let Lisa babysit
your
kids?
Oh, no. She goes, like, off the rails, for sure. No, she does. I mean, she's in fact, at one point, how do I tell the story without giving anything away? Well, you get to a certain point in the movie, and my husband, who knows the story of the movie, but just saw the movie for the first time a couple of days ago, he was like, I was wondering if there are people in the movie theater that thought, oh, now it's going to sort of gently end, and instead it goes down like three years, you know what I mean? So no, she's totally confused. She can't think clearly. But then think about, I think she does have some little sense of like self understanding herself at the end. And I think, you know, the movie takes place in just a couple weeks, and it's like it's like watching somebody lose their mind for a few weeks. But I don't think she's fundamentally crazy, no.
But we will just go with, you know, we're not letting her be with her. I also like what you guys did with gender roles. Like, you know, I felt like Lisa's husband was a guy who was there to, you know, she could vent to him and, you know, do other things and then just, like, leave him, like, drop him off.
Right. He's very peripheral in the story. Mm-hmm. You're, like, in her mind.
Was that intentional or?
No, I think, well, I think what was intentional was that the story be hers, fully hers. And I think
Which is really powerful.
Well, right, because you're so myopically in her mind. If she's on a trip, you're on a trip, you know? But I think we're more used to seeing the women in that that situation, right? Mm-hmm. Where, like, the guy goes home to the wife and he has, like, a little scene with her and then she gets pushed aside.
Right, exactly, you know? And, you know, and just Lisa's need for artistic outlet or her development as an artist and what she goes through kind of, in a way, reminds me of Candy from The Deuce. The struggles she goes through trying to make art in a porn world where people aren't really responding the way they should.
Yes, I know. And I think, so I made the first season of The Deuce, then I made The Kindergarten Teacher, then I made the second season of The Deuce. So, like, in some ways, they are all of a piece, and I think they are both women that are like, I'm starving. I can't take this anymore. Except, which is the way many women are feeling right now. Like, what the fuck? How have we been living like this? I told myself this was okay, and this was okay, and this was okay, and now I look where I'm at. There's consequences to that, you know? So I think both characters are waking up to how starving they are for something else. But the difference, I think, one big difference, well, aside from one being a porn director and the other being a kindergarten teacher.
Those jobs are kind of similar.
It's a strange job trajectory. But the difference is Candy, even though she goes through all sorts of hard things, which is, like, the show's designed that way, and she's a porn director in the 70s, she's got a clear mind. She knows what she wants. She can think clearly, and it's hard for her to get it. But, like, inch by inch by inch, she moves her way closer to what she needs. And Lisa, in The Kindergarten Teacher, is really confused. And I relate to both. I mean, there's parts of my mind that are really clear, and there are parts of my mind that are really confused.
Well, Candy's character has been remarkable. I think it's going to open a lot of doors for a lot of different types of stories. Like, I feel like it's really exposing the world to a lot of different things. And I think that the feedback, what type of feedback do you get? Do women feel like, you know, are they feeling empowered, or are they feeling like it's changing the narrative?
I think so. I mean, I love Candy, you know? And I don't know. I don't know what to say. I guess in a way she's something that's been created by a group of people, right? Mm-hmm. I get to be her.
Right.
But it's this, I know. I don't know. I love her too. I love playing her. I love being her. Yeah, I've gotten amazing feedback.
Did your perspective on sex work change after working on The Deuce?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I mean, I think in some ways, even though I'm not proud of this, I think I was somewhere judgmental in some ways. I think our culture really marginalizes sex workers.
It does.
Even though, I mean, let's just be honest, like, women didn't have any other way of making money for thousands of years, right? And then until very recently, like, really the door was closed almost everywhere. Like, after the Civil War, when so many men died, husbands and fathers and brothers, there was a big boom in sex work, because how else were women gonna support themselves? Very few other ways. And yet there's this hatred and stigma, and I think some of that a little bit may have been in me. And then,
but not your fault. It's you become a product of the society that we live in.
Still my fault, though. But yeah, I think that's true. I was, and then spending time with so many women who do that work, hearing from them, like on Twitter or on the internet, playing, really giving respect to Candy and to the other women in the show who are imaginary but do that work, I think really did change my perspective, for sure.
Do you think society is ever going to catch up and, you know, give all of these different industries the respect they deserve?
I don't know. I feel really hopeful. Even though Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed, I still feel...
Jesus Christ.
I know, but like, let's just call it what it is.
Right.
I still feel hopeful because things are changing a huge amount. Like, I think even Dr. Ford standing up there and saying, this happened and it was assault and it was not okay, is a huge step forward.
Yeah, I saw you post about that on your Instagram.
Did I? Probably.
Yeah. which leads me to my next question. Do you think, as a popular artist, do you think that artists have a responsibility to address these issues in the public? Or,
I mean, I think a democracy works only if people are engaged politically and if they know what's going on. Like, I think everybody has a responsibility to, like, pay attention and have an opinion. You don't have to talk about it publicly. I don't think that's your responsibility.
Right.
But sometimes people say, like, you're an actor. You should shut up. And I think, like, no. A democracy is, like, a bus driver and a school teacher and a porn director and an actor and
like
a writer.
Like, actors don't pay taxes.
Like, everybody has, like, it's not going to work. And I think it's part of the reason why it hasn't been working. If people aren't engaged, and you know, I saw some crazy number, I wish I had it in my head, of the people who didn't vote, you know, and I think, I just think, like, we can truly change things if we want to.
Yeah, we just have to get young people excited
about
going, you know, because this is, I mean, seeing Kavanaugh confirmed is like another blow. Like,
I know.
Is what we get. I mean, I remember, like, you know, after he gave his first testimony and just seeing the stills of his face on Twitter, just the, and I'm like, what's wrong with, like, you know, and then he gets caught in lie after lie after lie, as if, like, lying is a part of his breathing mechanism, and, you know, and still.
Well, I think it's the same thing we were talking about before. It's like a systemic problem. I don't think, somewhere I don't think he thinks he did anything wrong. Because somewhere, weirdly, we all were like, I don't know. So you're allowed to do that if you look a certain way and you have a certain amount of money. I mean, of course you're not. But when it's under the table, and it was kind of amazing to hear her stand up and say, this is actually what happened to me.
Are you interested in creating art that just challenges, you know, ideas like that?
Yeah, I mean, I like it when the art I make just in general, like, challenges things. I like playing a kindergarten teacher who's all fucked up. I like playing a porn director who's, like, totally got her eye on the prize and is clear and amazing, you know? I love that those two things are out at the same time. I love that some people, if they don't listen to, like, this, that they'll go in to see the kindergarten teacher thinking it's one thing and come out with, like, their minds blown because it's something else. You know, I love that. I do.
So I heard you were directing something. Are you allowed to talk about that yet?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what's that project?
It's based on a book that I love, written by Elena Ferrante, who, it's actually a pen name for an anonymous writer, Italian writer. And it's called The Lost Daughter, and I'm adapting it now. I'm about two-thirds of the way through the adaptation.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I am. You know, I feel like, at least right now, so much of my work as an actor, it's so collaborative. You're acting with other people, you're negotiating, can we change this line or that? Or, oh, you imagined the scene this way, but I imagine the scene this way. How do we come together and say what we need to say? Whereas writing is like just me.
Right.
And I can go as slow as I want. I actually really go slow.
Yeah.
And it's been such a pleasure.
Well, the film was amazing. Again, congratulations. I know you produced that as well.
Yeah.
And I want you to just tell everyone where they can see it.
You can see The Kindergarten Teacher on Netflix on October 12th or in a couple of theaters in New York and LA.